Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you were going?
What?
How fast you were going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You got to understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan.
First things first, rest in peace, sucker fair.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two on The Fan. Dirt and Sprague hanging out with you guys on this Thursday afternoon, the kickoff to the NFL. We're watching on the Pac-12 Network. They're doing these, Dirt mentioned in the first hour, but they're replaying like Stanford SC games. We're watching the legendary Stanford upset over USC, who was number one. They were 42-point dogs.
Wild, man.
It's when Carroll officially said, I hate Harbaugh.
It started it all. This was kind of the start of the downfall of USC, to be honest with you.
God,
Over, I think, the next year at Oregon or 2 years later at Oregon. And yeah. Stanford and Oregon overtook USC as the powers.
You're right. Yeah, they have that Pritchard kid who was playing quarterback, and he threw some pretty balls in this game, taking big hits, just chucking them up there for his guys.
Guys making plays.
All right, we have a lot to get to here in the second hour. We may talk about this exercise craze that's going on in our building.
Yeah, we have a workout challenge going on.
We do have a workout challenge. I've already been lectured twice today by two different people on it.
We're getting yelled at. I squatted 300 pounds yesterday, and apparently that doesn't count for anything, and I'm mad about that.
I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and exercised at 4:45, and I'm a lazy piece of S. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk a little bit more about the NFL, and I want to stick particularly with Green Bay, because we talked about the Bears, and just kind of feels like the Bears are being undersold a little bit. Looks like there's some value there with a wide open NFC. But on the other side, game one for Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers here, and they've obviously been dealing with their narratives of audibling and getting along and all of that kind of stuff. The Rodgers didn't get along with Mike McCarthy stuff. And I said before the break, in the last couple of years, have you slipped? Has your opinion slipped on him at all? And somebody did text in. They're a Packer fan, so I admit the that Go Pack Go was at the end, but they said he threw 20 plus touchdowns, two picks. When was that ever a bad year? Like, statistically, his completion percentage was probably a little too low for your liking. Like, you'd probably want to see a Rodgers up at like a 67, a 68 if he could, because
yeah,
he's got that kind
bit.
Of talent.
Yeah, he's 64.8 for his career. Last year, he was 62.3.
You cannot argue stats. Like, he threw for 4,400 yards. He had 25 touchdowns and two picks. There's no doubt. Yards per attempt, 7.4. These are great. It's not how you measure him, though. You don't measure Aaron Rodgers by stats, right? You're a Packer fan. You measure Aaron Rodgers by winning. That's how we measured Brett Favre. We should be measuring him the same. And he was 12-4, 10-6, 10-6. The last 2 years, 7 games and injured. 6-9-1 last year. I'm not blaming every single thing on him like national media does, but I'm wondering if people out there have kind of moved off him a little bit and don't feel as confident about Green Bay doing anything because he's been there and he's either been hurt or it hasn't been good enough for them because of the pieces missing around him.
Yeah, there's no question for me of what Green Bay and what he is capable of when he's healthy. The last time he played a full season and he was healthy, he carried them to the NFC title game where they went and lost to Atlanta. That season, he completed almost 66% of his passes, had 40 touchdowns and 7 picks, and he was arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League, and that was back in 2016. And then you fast forward the next year where he's banged up, misses time. They have a down season. He's unable to contribute. They came back and played him, I think, in that one game later in the year when their playoff hopes were still alive. I think it was at Carolina. They lost, then shut him down for the rest of the year. And then this last year, he got hurt in the opener. I want to say the first quarter last year against Chicago on Sunday Night Football. led him to a crazy comeback, but you could, I mean, he was playing on one leg all season, and he was never capable of being the player that Aaron Rodgers is capable of being because of that one leg situation. Couldn't scramble, couldn't extend plays, couldn't get as much force behind some throws, and it was a shell of a season for him. So if I'm questioning Aaron Rodgers, the only thing that I'm questioning is ability to stay healthy. That is the only thing I question about him. When he is healthy, I think people who act like he's no longer a top two or three quarterback in the NFL are ridiculous, and I don't know what you're watching. Just because he's been banged up the last 2 years doesn't mean he's not capable of being that quarterback again. It just gets back to, can he stay healthy? There's a lot of guys around the league that go through this. Carson Wentz is going through it right now, I think, in Philly. Hell, Andrew Luck was going through it before he got hurt or before he retired. Mariota, obviously, to a much lesser extent. Like, a lot of guys have that question, can they stay healthy? Rodgers has it, and that's fair criticism, and it's a fair thing to question. But when he's healthy, like, give me a break. This guy's a top two or three quarterback in the league.
I wouldn't argue the talent level that he has and that I probably still have him in my top three. I'm actually, for the record, I'm pro Rodgers this year because it's funny how everybody's dumping on him. Mm-hmm. What I'm curious about, though, is just if have people changed the way they view it. And what I mean by that is it's a razor thin line between being Aaron Rodgers and Matt Stafford. Good stats, doesn't win. And after you don't win after X amount of years, people don't care about the excuses. Well, guys, it's the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
his defense isn't very good. Look, I'm not saying people that have excuses for him aren't having valid excuses. They do. But that's not what we do with NFL quarterbacks. We don't go to every quarterback and go, what doesn't he have and what does he have? We go, does he win or does he not win? How much do you trust him? How much don't you trust him? And I wonder if he's approached that territory for certain people. Not a lot, but certain people kind of view this as, is he going to stay healthy? Is he really a great leader to lead his team to another Super Bowl title? Unfortunately for him, those are real narratives that exist with people. I don't know if I buy into all that. I think he can have a really good year this year, but it's just going to be about getting back to the playoffs, getting Aaron Rodgers into the playoffs, and seeing what he can do in that moment, because when he gets to that, it doesn't matter what he does or does not have. Great quarterback play can win you playoff games.
Yeah, almost. I'll pick him almost against anybody in the NFC this year if they get to that point and if he's able to stay healthy. He's good enough to overcome all their other weaknesses. I do think Green Bay has improved their defense tremendously this year. I love the offseason that they had on that side of the ball. One benefit of having a banged up Aaron Rodgers at least back-to-back years is you get good draft selections. Instead of going 12-4 or 13-3 like they were every season and you're drafting at the end of the first round, things have been slightly different the last 2 years. They've struggled, and so they've had higher draft selections, and I think they've been able to fill some holes because of it. When he's healthy, he doesn't miss the playoffs. Like, that's the reality around Aaron Rodgers. Like, last year, I know he played a full season, but, like, give me a break.
We knew he was banged up.
The guy had one leg all season, and he wasn't the Aaron Rodgers of old. They have some stuff going on behind the scenes. I'm not going to judge him because of 1 year in which he played 16 games on one leg and went 6-9-1. You look at the other years that he's been a starter in this league. His first year as a starter was 2008. He played in all 16 games. They were 6-10. After that, in every year in which he's been healthy and played, these are his records: 11-5, 10-5, 14-1, 11-5, 12-4, 10-6, 10-6. Mm-hmm. He's a double-digit winner every single year when he plays a full 16 games, outside of last year in which he was 6-9-1. And again, that was because, in my opinion, he was playing on one leg. And I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy last year, they have a much better season, and he has a much better season, which again is crazy considering he had 25 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, which is a ridiculous ratio, whether you're being aggressive or not or pushing the ball down the field enough or not. 25-2 is still a crazy good number. I think it just comes down to simply staying healthy. And I don't know. It's a realistic concern because he's 35, turning 36. Like, that's the scary part about Aaron Rodgers is, did he waste 2 prime years and now it's just going to be injury-riddled season after injury-riddled season, and this is the guy who we see. But if they're able to keep him upright and healthy, I'm just going to pencil Green Bay in. If he plays all 16 and he's healthy, I'll pencil him in right now to go 11-5 or better.
Tex said, the Better You Today text line, they also lost Clay Matthews. Another listener says, does Aaron play defense? Because unless he does, last year isn't on him. And then the next two texts after that, here we go with Sharon Rodgers love fest. Rodgers can't stay healthy. He's a diva. This is what I'm talking about.
Oh, there's opinions all over the board on
how Rodgers. How much does a coach impact how much you trust them as a team, right? You don't doubt what he, 25 touchdowns and 2 picks on a bum leg. Devontae Adams is now emerged as maybe a top 6 type talent for people. Some people think he's the number 1 wide receiver fantasy-wise this year because of Rodgers. But now he's got a proven weapon out there in Devontae Adams, who it took him a few years. He had his problems with drops and not getting open. It was almost Laquon Treadwell-like. but he figured it out. He got it going, and now he's Davante Adams. How much does the coach hire impact your thinking on what they're going to do this year? Because quite frankly, none of us know a damn thing about Matt LaFleur as a head coach.
No, I don't think anybody has any positive thoughts about Matt LaFleur either, because he was hired as a coordinator coming from Sean McVay's staff. He was one of those guys. He didn't do much in Tennessee last year, and everybody thought he was going to revolutionize the Titans offense. That didn't happen. Now he's a head coach somehow falling upwards, which some guys tend to do in the National Football League. There's a lot of questions around him. I still view, though, and this is going to drive the anti-Aaron Rodgers crowd nuts, I view him as the guy, though, that can overcome that kind of stuff. Like Mike McCarthy, what was the opinion of Mike McCarthy 3 years ago in the NFL? Did anybody ever put him as a top three or top five coach in the league? Right? Like, he always had issues. Everybody always wondered, is he there because he had Favre and Rodgers? Like, how many coaches could have won having those guys back-to-back as their quarterback? He wasn't an overly or highly respected coach in the league, yet they were going to the playoffs every single year because Aaron Rodgers. I know they're different sports, and the head coach in the NFL is much more important than a head coach in a sport like basketball, but I view him as a guy like LeBron James when he's healthy. Like, I can coach LeBron James to a certain number of wins in the NBA, and if Aaron Rodgers is healthy and you give him control at the line of scrimmage, your offense is going to be good. It just comes down to the other side of the ball, as that listener points out. Can you be better defensively? The interesting part about both these teams tonight, too, is I think they have closing windows. Like Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers, he's 35. He's going to be 36. Like, that's up there, man. I think you saw it with Drew Brees towards the end of the year last year. Whether people want to acknowledge it or not, you saw it with Tom Brady at pieces last year. Like, you get to a point taking that many hits and that many injuries that you just can't do it the way you used to, and it takes more of a village around you, and that's what Brady has in New England that Aaron Rodgers does not have in Green Bay. So he still has to play at an elite level for them to win. So that clock is ticking for them, and I think you wonder, is this the last year or is next year the last year? And I'd say the same thing about Chicago. Like, Trubisky, I think, is going to be the next fascinating case study of how much is he worth and how much are you willing to pay him. That guy, I know he's only 2 years in, so you got a little room to breathe here, but Goff just got his deal after his third year in the NFL with, I think, 2 years left on his rookie deal. So Trubisky eventually is going to get there. Can Chicago capitalize on having a guy on a rookie contract, which we all think is the modern way to win in the NFL? A lot of talent and a quarterback on a cheap deal before you have to pay him.
Well, if Trubisky has a similar year, too, as Goff did with his head coach in the system, and they can get at least to the NFC title game,
you're going to pay him.
You have to pay him.
So now there eats up $25+ million of your annual budget.
Well, and don't forget the Khalil Mack part of that and how much he got paid.
Exactly.
So, you know, nothing's a given in the NFL, that's for certain. But quarterback play means everything. We'll see what Aaron Rodgers can do year one with Matt LaFleur. All right. I actually got randoms. I got a bunch of tidbits I want to get to coming up next in multiple areas of life, not just sports, life. And we'll do it next on The Fan. Oh, hey, welcome back in. It's only a 60-second break here on The Fan. Hanging out on this NFL kickoff Thursday. Packers and Bears. We talked a lot of NFL, both Rodgers and the Bears. I got some tidbits here. This one's very interesting. I don't really know much about this story outside of what I just read on ESPN. But it's something to monitor because it involves us. The Portland Timbers have handed a few individuals who help run the Timbers Army they've banned them from 3 matches for waving flags that show the Iron Front symbol, which violates MLS's prohibition on political signage in its stadiums. The sign is to fight anti-fascism and racism, and they wanted to send a message. And now the Timbers have responded, and they have banned a few members of the Timbers Army for 3 matches for doing this because the MLS as a whole said, we don't want political signage at our events, please.
Yeah, this was one of those, like, when I did a segment about being a parent, and both the parents on the show were gone, and I had to talk about it. I had to do this, and both of you guys, Swigard was still on his, like, 8-month-long vacation, and you were running the Hood to Coast. This was a story on a Friday, because I'd heard reports that they were going to be silent for the first, like, 33 minutes of a game against Seattle. It's like, I don't really know what to say here. I don't really know what's going on. I'm going to share my thoughts, but I don't really feel confident in them.
Right.
But yeah, apparently Mike kind of had a base level knowledge of what was going on. So he said, yeah, that the MLS said you can't have any political signs or anything like that. And that was right after the big rally or rally, anti-rally, whatever the hell was going on downtown Portland.
Yeah.
So they wanted to bring signs to the game that was against it, whatever, and the MLS said, and the Timbers said no. So they apparently, and the Sounders fans, and the game was on like ESPN on a Friday night, and they and the Sounders fans all said, like came to a pact and an agreement and said, let's be silent for the first 33 minutes of the game. And there was some significance for 33 minutes. I can't remember what it was, but there was a reason why it was 33 minutes. And so it was kind of a weird spectacle. I remember turning it on that night, being curious, like, are they really doing this? And they did. They were dead silent for 33 minutes, and then they erupted, and they started singing a song. But I can't imagine they're going to go quietly after getting suspended for a couple of games.
Yeah, that's part of, that's a blurb in this, too. They were quiet for a 33-minute protest between the two teams on August 23rd. And that point in the game, the supporters from both teams began cheering and displaying flags, both using the political signage that they did.
Yeah.
So it's now a political mess when you go to Timbers games. Is that what I'm picking up?
Can't have political signs, but you can, but you can't. I don't know.
Yeah, this sign actually doesn't fall under the code of conduct, but the MLS heard about this sign. So then they sent out like a memo of, we're also kind of adding this.
It's a side amendment to the rule.
There's a lot of people in those stadiums. They just don't want to talk about that stuff in that moment.
Well, this is too. Well, I've always argued too. I feel like for the most part now, this is not covering the blanket with everybody.
Oh, I know.
I feel like there's, and I've always argued this, of people saying, you know, why don't you talk more Timbers, or why aren't the Timbers more, you know, a part of your show? And I've always felt, and it's just kind of a belief, that the Timbers audience is slightly different than the general sports audience. Doesn't mean that there aren't people that listen to the Fan that are general sports fans that actually follow the Timbers as well.
We get crossover people that text in and
no
go,
doubt about
I don't
it.
Need you guys to talk Timbers.
Right, no
That's
doubt
fine.
About it. But I feel like a lot of the diehards and stuff, are they're just kind of in a different camp. I've always viewed them more as an NPR kind of crowd than a 1080 the Fan kind of crowd, right? Yeah. Like I just, and again, not covering with an entire blanket, but I feel like this backs it up. Like, would this ever be an issue at a Blazer game? Right?
I mean, you could say yes because it's
a Beaver game.
Yeah, you could say yes because it's Oregon.
Dude,
and it's
I've been going
Portland,
to Blazer games my entire life, and I've never, like, nothing political has ever happened at a Blazer game to my knowledge.
We've got to start talking like this. And coming up next,
good afternoon, Portland.
The Timbers Army has put up the Iron Front symbol.
Speak like fight for what you want to fight for. Like, I'm all for it, man.
Sure.
Like, I'm glad that they're taking a stance against what they want to take a stance against. But I think it reaffirmed my opinion that you kind of have different audiences, you know?
I'm afraid I'm going to end up being the dad that when he takes his teenage daughters to a sporting event like this, political protest of some sort's going on, and my daughter's going to go, hey, what's that about? And I'm going to turn to her and just go, you know what? I don't know. I've become disinterested in politics. It's actually becoming annoying to me.
Actually, I'm done.
So let's just watch the soccer match.
Yeah, so that's going to be, I mean, you suspend a couple of people, the Timbers Army, like that's a big deal, and you give them the old heave-ho for three games.
We'll see if it does anything.
Yeah, it's a final, like how many games are left, too? We're almost to the end, aren't we?
No, this is a year-long season.
We still have a month and a half.
Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, dude. The season's legit like a 10-month season.
Yeah, it goes March, beginning of March, and the regular season ends in October, and then there's a month of playoffs.
Yeah,
okay,
remember,
so it is a month and a half, but how many games do they have left?
Like seven or eight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's spacing out between those.
Okay.
In other news, in non-political news.
Moving on.
Let's move on now on our NPR radio show.
We need like a cool chime in the background, though, when we do that.
I'm Marco Barbaro. This is The Daily. How about this one in the office? So we come in today. We signed up to battle Seattle Intercom.
Whoa. We signed up. We didn't sign up for anything.
Is the building doing this competition?
We had a
gal. Did you get a vote on this?
No, I did not. We love Jennifer is the gal who started this. She works in traffic. She's awesome. We love working with her. She runs around and makes things happen all over this building. But this was her brainchild. She signed us up.
Well, but everybody's kind of in on it. Nobody's like, Jennifer, kind of offended you signed us up for that.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
So we're doing like today. What you have to do is you have to exercise in the office at some point. So the exercise is 18 squats and 8 push-ups.
That's just today. So it gets, yeah.
If you do 18 squats and 8 push-ups, each person counts as 1 point. We battle every day against our Seattle brethren, and we see if we beat them or we lose to them. Well,
suck it, Seattle.
We lost the first day.
Oh, sorry.
And I think we're trailing by a point or two, and You and I have not responded to these emails.
We don't respond to a lot of emails around here, let's just be honest.
So many emails that are unread.
I didn't want to tell her to. I felt bad, but I already deleted them. Oh. So I can't accept the invite because it, I mean, a lot of them, it doesn't feel pertinent. I just hit the immediate, like, delete.
Well, she comes over and she brings it up and says, hey, you guys need to respond. We need points. I actually really like her as a person.
She's awesome.
Super easy to work with. So I'm going to do it for her.
Okay.
Not exercise, because I actually already exercised this morning, and I'm just going to count that.
Well, and that's, I mean, it's 18 squats and 8 push-ups. You're not really...
That's not really exercise.
You're not really pushing the envelope there.
But she comes up to us and tells us to accept and start participating, right? She wants to win. Our other sales gal, Susan, steps up.
Yes.
I don't know when it started or why it started, but she came over and then she critiqued my squatting ability.
She did.
Then I asked her to squat, and she looked like she had explosive diarrhea going everywhere.
Yeah, her form was not good.
It wasn't good.
I didn't want to say anything at the time because she felt real confident knowing her squat form. It was not good squat form.
She said, my squat form sucked, and then she did it. Hers was probably worse.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why don't you do it? And she's like, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, well, then why are you criticizing people for? So now we're left with this office competition where I don't know who's participating and who's not, but... I think this is going to get real dicey as this thing rolls on and we're only a couple points behind because we're playing for a massaging chair.
Oh, are we really?
There's going to be a big massage chair put somewhere.
I didn't know that. I'm going to start doing my squats and push-ups now. That's kick-ass.
Yeah.
You go sit in the massage chair before the show?
Well, get in line. There's going to be about 10 people waiting.
Say, yeah.
It's one chair, not...
It'd be like Costanza. Have you gotten the chair yet? No, I haven't. It hasn't been sent yet. Sorry. Haven't received it. When I do, I will let you know.
Yeah, so we're dealing with the in-office workout stuff, which instantly reminds me of the episode of The Office when they want to lose more weight than other people.
Yes.
And they weigh themselves on the, what is it, the warehouse...
They have the big weight, the scale.
The big scale, yeah. That's what we're dealing with right now.
I mean, let's be honest, too. Like, what percentage of people in the building do you think? Because all you have to, there's no, like, verification process here.
It's just an honesty system.
It's an honesty. It's just the trust tree. You just got to click accept, and that means that you've acknowledged that you've done the workout for that day. I mean, how many people in the building do we feel like might just click the accept and not do the workout?
Well, I think yesterday we had 21, so that means 21 people participated. I would say of the 21, 10 didn't do squat.
They didn't do it.
They didn't do anything.
Well, and here's my thing, too, is like I work out twice a week. I go in, have my personal trainer, get my workout on in the morning. Like, this, like I have to do that, then come do my office workout, too? Like, why can't I just click accept and have that count as my daily workout?
Well, and the other angle is, Dirt, I want to actually help the team win. 18 squats and 8 push-ups is relatively nothing. It's not hard. And when I tried to participate, I was instantly criticized.
You did, yeah. Immediately, you were made fun of for your form.
So, like, what am I doing this for? To get judged on my squats? What are we doing?
This is such an off. This happens in every office. You know that it does. Like this, I guarantee this, like 55305, this happens in your office. I know it does.
Do you guys deal with weight challenges?
Like some sort
or
of workout challenge of like, I think the really cool one that some companies do is that if you work out more, they give you like discounts on your healthcare.
That's cool.
Like that's the one, like I know, I think it was my future mother-in-law that had this at her company. Like if you walked or, you know, proved and you had to have like a Fitbit tracker to show that you were actually doing it. They give you like a discount on your healthcare because they obviously it's cheaper for them if you're in shape and working out than if you're not working out and you weigh a lot. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And I think anytime you do a fitness challenge or exercise competition, whatever you want to call it, I think anytime you do it, you want to be careful because I love exercising. I do it almost every single day of the week.
I want you to fire all the fat people.
But I know that that's not a normal for a lot of folks. There are people that don't exercise as often as I think they should.
You can't fire all the fat people.
Stop adding the fat people into this.
Sorry.
But I'm also not a judgy person. So if you don't want to exercise, that's fine.
Yeah, you do you, right? Boo.
I want to run. You don't. That's cool. I don't know who decided that these were the workouts we had to do. I think yesterday it was like 8 squats and 4 push-ups. Legit question when I ask this, do you even burn a calorie when you do that?
I think you do. You burn like 4.
Because I can run for like 10 seconds on the treadmill at 8 miles per hour, and I'll burn 2 calories.
Right. That's always so frustrating on the treadmill. You feel like you're getting a good workout and you look down. I call shenanigans on that too.
Sure. And I know not every exercise means, oh, this means that should burn X amount of calories, but I believe in starting slow. I just think we're starting very slow.
Well, I think by the end, it's like 45 squats and 20-something push-ups. I think that's like the final day of the challenge. Somebody, by the way, said that this is literally an episode of Workaholics. They even get a massage chair at the end of it. So maybe she's a big fan of Workaholics, and that's how this whole thing was created.
She's a pretty hip person. She might watch Workaholics.
Somebody said walking challenges are the worst. People just shake their wrists at their desk, which I can totally see, dude. We all cut corners in life, and I appreciate it.
Would you say shake their wrist?
You just, for your Fitbit. Oh, so you just stand there and you just
wait,
go back.
Fitbit counts that?
I mean, I think so. To a certain point, you just kind of keep moving your arms around while you're sitting there doing work at your desk.
That's shenanigans.
And then somebody said, Jesus, Dirt, you work out 2 days a week and a few extra push-ups are too much. That's another level of lazy. One, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. My argument was more so like yesterday we did the squat challenge with Swigard if he could squat 300 pounds, which he couldn't.
He didn't succeed, by the way.
Like my point is Swigard, like the challenge yesterday would have been doing 7 squats in the office. Okay, like Swigard squatted 135 pounds.
Yeah, that's...
Like, that should count for his 7 squats. Like, I ended up squatting the 300 pounds. This is my point. I squatted 300 at the gym. Do I then have to come in and do 7 air squats?
Well, that's why you have to go back to how many other people do that.
Sure.
And just sign up to help out the team. But they're like, I worked out this morning. I'm not doing anything more. I did my work. Not going again. But we'll see if we win. I'll keep you guys updated on this if we get to a...
Somebody said, here's a trick. I attached my Fitbit to my dog, took him to the park and threw the ball. Workout challenge, I won.
I hate to tell you this. I've actually heard of somebody that's done that. They've put it on the collar and they take him to a wide open field and they just throw the ball to the dog, doesn't want to run anymore. And you grab it and it says, like, you've run 2.5 miles. You've burned... It's completely erroneous.
Let's go, Bubba. We're going for a run today. That's fantastic.
All right. Let's see. What do you want to get to next? I pushed a couple of things back.
Well, we can either do the gambling angle on quarterbacks. We can talk about Tennessee football and how much of a dumpster fire it is. Or we can get to Taco Tuesday, man. You can choose your own adventure there.
I'll let you choose the adventure because all three of those things sound interesting to me. And we'll pick which one is going to be next. I'm wrestling.
Hey, welcome back, Campbell 33. I think I'm going to save Tennessee sucking. We might, if we have time for that, we can get to that today.
Well, they could start 0-2, so.
They could.
If you want to even hold it for next Monday, we
also,
that.
Like, just envision this, but, like, we won't get to it now. There was a player on Tennessee's team that joked about on Twitter them losing to Georgia State.
Well, they've also had 2 individuals transfer. It's been a really bad look for him. I couldn't have been more wrong on a program, by the way. I'm already waving the flag of, boy, that was a stupid thought by me.
Hey, Stanford lost in week 1 to Northwestern and ended up in the Rose Bowl. Not getting that Tennessee vibe?
I don't think Georgia State and Northwestern are on that same level. Okay. I just thought Jeremy Pruitt was going to end up being a good coach. Seems like he's in way over his head.
Last big Alabama assistant to take a head job was Kirby Smart. Look what he's done at Georgia. So yeah. If we have time, if we can get that today. If not, maybe save it for tomorrow or next week. We'll get to the gambling angle of quarterbacks. This was hilarious. I enjoyed this. We'll get to that coming up in 10 minutes. Let's talk some trademarks, though, shall we? Now, do you gentlemen remember the first time in your life that you heard the phrase Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday might have been when I was 10.
Right.
It might have been like the first time I can remember it.
Taco Tuesday.
Right?
Yes. Since my first paying job was at a Taco Bell.
You did Taco Tuesday.
Was it really?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. It's in the bean burritos.
Beans?
Is it true they use horse meat?
No.
I've had another Taco Bell employee tell me there's probably some validity to that.
Well, not when I was, boy, when was that? 1986.
Oh, I was born.
I would love, is there a picture of you in a Taco Bell uniform anywhere?
I don't know.
1986 you know Swigard uniform.
You know it was the really bright colored Taco Bell
for sure.
Stuff
no,
back
it
then.
Was the muted magenta.
Oh, I know what you're talking
it
about.
Was, yeah. It was bad. How much they were all polyester and scratchy, and it was horrible.
Burritos now, I think, are like $1.30 or $1.20.
Oh, they were 50. We had the 59-cent menu.
Jeez.
And then Sundays.
Bring it back.
Sundays, regular crunchy tacos were 49 cents.
Are you kidding me?
So, and I had to, on the weekends, I had to work the deep fryer to take all the tortillas and turn them into shells. And, which is great for a 15-year-old kid with acne. Yeah, that's helpful.
I'm just picturing a bullet. You like walking in with a jean jacket with your Taco Bell uniform on, 1986, acne all over his face, standing over a deep fryer all day.
I didn't have a license yet. I was, and so I had to ride my bike, had my Peugeot 10 speed.
That is so good.
I'm picturing a combination of 15-year-old Swigard, so no facial hair.
Right.
No.
Zits everywhere, yes. And he's doing the Chris Farley bus driver, like,
I'm going to go someplace and make something of myself. Well, there you go. So we've heard of Taco Tuesday for a long time then, right? We're all in agreement there. Yeah. Everybody's known the phrase Taco Tuesday essentially as long as you've been alive and eating tacos.
Been celebrating it a lot the last 2 or 3 years. I'm a big fan.
Well, here comes LeBron James into the conversation. Good old LeBroni. And LBJ Trademarks has filed paperwork with the United States Patent and Trademark Office to own the term Taco Tuesday.
Probably the douchiest thing.
I hope there's a patent attorney that just laughs.
Like this, so if you
don't
know.
Well, he's not going to get it. They've already said he's probably not getting this.
Duh. Probably. You better not.
Because
okay?
Then nobody can, you can't use it.
You can't. Yeah. So if you don't know why this is a thing, LeBron James loves tacos. He does a Taco Tuesday thing every week on his Instagram. He's made like Taco Tuesday t-shirts. He yells kind of in a racist tone, Taco Tuesday, every week.
Yeah.
Like, he gets away with it because it's LeBron and whatever. But
if LeBron was Leroy James, sure, he wouldn't get away with it.
If it was Kevin Love doing this every single week, we might have a different stance on his Taco Tuesday.
It's 100% facts.
So he yells Taco Tuesday and he eats tacos every single week. And he thought because of him yelling Taco Tuesday, then he can trademark Taco Tuesday and own the phrase.
Yeah, you know, look, I have to tell you, as a big LeBron guy, when I saw the first video he did of this, I was kind of like, oh, that's a cool little thing that he did it with his family. He was sitting around with his family at a table, and he goes, guess what day it is, Taco Tuesday? And he goes to everybody, and his kids do it. His wife does it. It was a funny thing, right? Second video, Anthony Davis is in it. Okay, you know, he's doing his dad thing. I'm not mad about that. They kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it. And people, for some reason, still kept responding to it, to which I was thinking in my head, guys, he's just saying the same thing he said on the last 8 videos.
It's every week he shows the tacos he's eating, flips the camera over to himself and the people around him, and yells Taco Tuesday.
Well, like...
That's all it is.
Our buddy Eric Gunderson.
Sure.
He does the LeBron Wire for USA Today, which is basically a blog dedicated to LeBron.
Just so. LeBron.
I understand it.
Sure,
but he
was content.
He tweeted last week, sure glad he didn't do a video so I didn't have to post something on LeBron Wire. My thought was, you could just not ever post it, and everybody that cares about LeBron has already seen it.
Because they follow him on Instagram.
Because they follow him on IG. But this is next level douchey. To want to trademark Taco Tuesday, which has been around for decades... is ridiculous.
This is a whole nother level. So also on that show when you guys were gone, I told a story and talked about, because I saw it and it was too good to pass up, and I want to ask you which is dumber. There was, and this happened in the United States as well, but there was a Canadian lawsuit that was settled that they filed a lawsuit against Red Bull for not giving them wings.
A company did?
No, like Citizens of Canada joined a class action lawsuit against the energy drink company because they did not get actual wings from drinking the product. And it was a thing like, if you can prove that you've drinking a Red Bull over the last 10 years, send your information and you get like a $20 check. It was something along those lines. So I asked the poll question today, what's dumber, suing an energy drink company because you didn't get wings or trying to trademark Taco Tuesday?
Ooh. I don't know. How do you have a winner in this one?
Try and pick one.
You have one guy taking away one of the, you know, one of the better phrases we have for food out there.
Trying to take away it, yes.
And then you've got on the other side people that are so stupid when they watch TV that they think,
what the hell? Where are my wings? Can't fly.
Guy on the commercial came right out of his back. Where's mine?
I might hurt myself making this stretch, but... I would say it's LeBron because LeBron's is selfish in nature.
I agree.
Whereas whoever the attorneys are trying to, they're trying to make a point maybe to Red Bull to be responsible with their advertising.
No.
Sure. No, I can appreciate the stretch.
Stop.
I can appreciate it.
You're right on your first point.
Stretching.
You're making those attorneys and those lawyers sound like idiots. Idiots.
Like I said, I might hurt myself.
See, here's the thing, though.
You're right on the LeBron thing.
At least the people in the class action lawsuit, though, are getting like $10 out of it.
No,
like
LeBron, get no money out of that.
LeBron's like, you have no.
They shouldn't get money
no,
out of
they
it.
They shouldn't. I agree with
I
you.
I mean,
there.
If somebody wants to make Red Bull go back and redo their marketing campaign, fine.
The new slogan's going to be, it gives you wings. Not really. So if you
he's
don't know.
He's worth a billion. What do you.
I know.
Why
this is
do
selfish.
You
yeah. It's dumb. It's ridiculous. It's like,
here's just, the greatest thing. Don't even trademark it. Just make a LeBron shirt with Taco
he already
Tuesday.
Did.
Yeah. Well, I know, but that should be enough for you. You yeah. want to make a special edition Taco Tuesday LeBron shoe? Do that. I actually, if he would have never done this, I probably would have thought about buying the shirt just out of like being the old.
Yeah.
Ah, it's a dad joke. It's LeBron being cheesy and corny.
If
and
he's just doing
whatever.
The bit on his Instagram for fun, then great.
That actually be a cool shoe. Like the sides of the shoe are the sides of the taco shell.
The corn
and
tortilla.
And then the back of the shoe and like the front where the tongue is and stuff is like meat and cheese and tomatoes.
Dude, yeah. And the the strings of the shoe could be the cheese.
Yeah, taco shoe.
Weaved
yeah.
in and out a little bit.
Cheese string.
Shredded cheese.
I'm trademarking that idea.
The LeBron taco shoe.
Yeah.
Can you trademark that?
Probably not. So nobody knows, to come full circle on this, nobody knows where Taco Tuesday originated. The first trademark of the term was issued in New Jersey in 1982, which then followed was followed by a Wyoming-based chain, Taco John's, which it's a great name. They filed for the trademark in 1989. However, the current trademark it is being reported is not very strong because Taco John's, who owns the trademark, has not adequately defended the phrase as unique to its restaurant.
They said
we created the first Taco Tuesday, so they technically yeah. own the trademark, but it's not. They don't defend it.
But they're not
it.
Enforcing it. So if you're not enforcing, exactly. If you own the trademark, it's up to you to enforce it.
You're gonna be maybe a $2 billion enterprise. You're already a billion-dollar entity in yourself. Like you
yeah,
are.
LeBron?
Yeah, you yeah. are the NBA. What do you need this for?
Yeah,
what
exactly.
do you need this for?
Yeah.
I know we're against it. There was an SB Nation article that came out about this that then like tied in all the other dumb sports trademarks that have been attempted to happen. I'm just going to rattle through some of these.
Oh, I'm very curious about this list.
Alabama tried to trademark houndstooth. If you don't know what that is, that's like the pattern of the Bear Bryant hat.
Yeah.
They tried to trademark the pattern. They
Sorry.
Don't have it. Unicorn Darts tried to trademark the smell of old beer. So Unicorn, which is apparently one of the largest producers of darts in the world. They tried to, like they said, darts is synonymous with playing, you know, darts in a bar, old beer. They tried to trademark.
How can you trademark a smell?
They tried to, a scent to add its darts, the smell would be left in the air after a fight. Yeah. The trademark was granted, so they own the trademark for old beer smell.
Wow.
Syracuse attempted to trademark orange, the color orange and the name orange.
The color?
That didn't happen. Katy Perry.
Well, they had to walk some other things back with their original name,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Let's walk that one back.
She's a wheeze.
Katy Perry tried to trademark Left Shark after the Super Bowl. That trademark was shut. Remember the famous Left Shark dancing
yeah.
during the halftime? Yeah. She tried to trademark that.
I'm very curious. When people like Katy Perry wants to do Left Shark, what's the end goal? And like, do you think that's the empire? Like, I'm going to trademark right. Left Shark and I'm going to make $20 million off
I'm gonna
Left Shark.
I'm going to make 8 cents for the next 50 years every time somebody brings it up. Two more here quickly. Nintendo tried to trademark It's On like Donkey Kong.
I would be A-okay if they own that. I think that might be the one I agree with.
That I'd listen to the argument. I was like, okay, let's. Yeah.
They own that trademark.
Oh, there
so,
you go.
So I probably just now have to pay Nintendo like 48 cents because I said it, but they own that trademark. And then Tom Brady, of course, tried to copyright
Tom Terrific.
And he didn't get that, right?
No, because
Tom Seaver.
Tom Seaver was yeah. Tom Terrific long
the
before
Mets
Tom
pitcher,
Brady.
Well before Tom Brady.
The trademarking thing, obviously, it pays dividends down the road if you get a good one, but some of these dudes just don't need the money that much. It's like, just have fun with, like, Tom Terrific could make T-shirts and people that love Tom Brady would buy them.
Yes. Like, and you don't have to own the phrase.
No, you don't have to own that phrase. It's like that. I hate to do this twice in a show, but
he'd have to get permission to use the trademark or pay.
Sure, give him a pro.
Why wouldn't Tom Seaver get like Tom? Why would Tom Seaver say no to that? Like, yeah, go for it, dude.
Give me a dollar of your sales.
You don't even have to. Like, I don't care.
It would be more than that. That picture T-shirt's going to cost $35 by the time.
Sure.
DB12.
Yeah.
So LeBron James tries to trademark Taco Tuesday. He is not going to win, but let's all make fun of LeBron because that's a douchey thing to do.
Who's worse, the trademark person or the buy the web domain person?
Trademark person.
Mm.
I think web. I think owning the web domain is smart.
Yeah,
that's good business.
I can't remember if it was the Rams or the Chargers, but somebody had bought larams.com or something.
And they had to buy it from them.
Yeah, they had to actually
cut them
a little bit of a check.
That's good business, man. All right, let's get to the gambling angle of quarterbacks. So Vegas came out with the lines on every quarterback in the National Football League and what they mean to their team. Essentially, if their backup is to play, how many points in the spread does said team lose? There is one quarterback who, according to Vegas, it is worse for his team to have him on the field than him off the field. Can you guess who it is? 55305. We'll give you those lines. Crunch time next on The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can do sports-specific training, whether it's for your golf swing, core, baseball, more power on your tennis serve. They're certified, knowledgeable, and take it from me, it works. I was not at the Glorious House of Gaines.
Sure, I ain't having that. You got me? I ain't having that.
I'm not going to lie. I'm really, like, my back and shoulder, like, I'm just sore from yesterday.
That's a lot of weight you squatted, dude. Like, me and Sukanik both said, like, good job. Swag said it, too. That's a hell of an accomplishment. I'll never get that. Squatting 300 pounds is legit, man.
Hey, thanks, dude. I appreciate that.
That's no easy walk at the park. Not everybody's walking into the old gym going, I'm going to squat 300 pounds today.
Let's see how it affects the old softball swing tonight.
Well, I was squatting air, and I got made fun of for that. So.
You did. That happened. That totally happened. By the way, we'll get to the NFL thing in one moment. I saw this tweet during the break, and it made me think. And now I can't stop thinking about it.
The one from Cody?
Yes, P1 yeah. Cody tweeted us and said...
So Andre also had a pretty funny observation.
He did. Very funny. P1 Cody said, let's try and think of another food day-related phrase we can trademark. How about Falafel Friday?
Well, Scott tweeted us and said, what about Fish Friday?
Fish Friday? Could that be a thing?
I feel like Joe Fisher would get mad.
Turkey Tuesday?
Turkey Tuesday.
What else we got? Waffle Wednesday?
Oh, hold on. Has Turkey Hole been trademarked?
Putting the ball right there in a turkey hole.
What if you had like a football as a turkey and
I don't
a guy?
Think so, because nobody says turkey hole.
Well, we could run with it.
Other than John Gruden.
We could run with it. Football bros would get it.
Turkey hole Tuesday.
That, you know what we could do is we could create, I don't even know, footballism. We'd be baseballism's football cousin and we create the funniest shirts that we see from football season.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Mitchell, kiss my two, tease Trubisky.
Yeah. With a T and a D.
Mm-hmm. Well, D.
T, never mind.
Touchdown.
Yes. Yes. Sorry.
I went the wrong way with that because of what I had just said.
I know.
That's my bad.
I know where you went mentally.
I feel like Swigard kind of went there too because he put his head down like, oh, I thought he was on something.
He's shaking his head in frustration. So I know he was thinking the same thing. What about Salmon Saturday? By the way,
that's never going to happen.
Why not? You just eat salmon every Saturday. By the way, can we make fun of the Abram kid? So have you guys watched the finale of Hard Knocks yet?
No. I still haven't.
Okay. I lost interest after week three.
I do every year because there's actually football on, so there's not like the same appetite. But I watched it last night.
I also don't want to watch guys I got to know a little bit and cheered for get cut, which happens every year.
Guess what? Breaking news. They all got cut.
I know. Didn't Luke Wilson get cut?
Literally every single one of them got cut. The tight end, the linebacker, the wide receiver.
The linebacker got
them.
Cut?
Kabinda or whatever.
Kabinda, yeah.
Yeah, they showed his mom the whole episode. Yeah, he gone. I think he got picked up by Detroit, though.
I don't think people realize you have 90 on a preseason roster, and you have to whack near half of it to get to 53.
Right. Here would be my question on it. Who tells, is it Gruden himself, or is it the coach or the GM of different
teams? No, it's the
GM. But are they the ones that come up to him and go, look, these five people are characters. They'll be great.
Oh, the HBO people.
And
yeah,
they won't make it, but they've got good background stories.
Oh.
How do they know who to follow?
It's a good question. I don't know.
In depth like that.
Some of them, like, they didn't follow the Cabinda guy the whole year. They just picked him up, like, randomly in episode 3, and his mom was all over the place.
They gave him, like, a quarter of the episode.
And his mom's in, like, half the finale. She was funny, too. Like, she was a good character.
Yeah, that seemed like a really rootable situation.
Yes, and he got cut. But the reason I brought that up is the Abram kid, the safety from Mississippi State, the Salmon.
God, that was annoying.
He had a T-shirt made, and he was wearing it in the episode.
Is it Salmon or Salmon?
Is it Salmon or Salmon?
Really? Now you've got to, like, you came up with that on your own to try and be like the dinosaurs don't exist guy.
Oh, yeah.
To, like, be the guy who goes viral, and then you had a T-shirt made of it.
Did Derek Carr come over with his eyeliner and say something really douchey?
Oh, yeah. Royce Freeman cleans his clock on a blitz.
So, anyways, not to get too distracted there. You guys know when Salmon Saturday? You don't think that catches on?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, well, there's Wing Wednesdays some places.
Yeah,
I think.
Wing Wednesday thing was in Corvallis. There was a restaurant that is now defunct, but
Wing Wednesday.
They used to do Wing Wednesday, and I think it was like 20 cents a wing.
Okay.
So a lot of everybody would always go there.
Well, Fettuccine Friday.
Pizza Friday's kind of always been the thing.
That's the thing for me. I eat pizza on Fridays.
A lot of people eat pizza on Fridays.
Spaghetti Sundays? Not
so much.
Yeah, okay. Do you have to rhyme? Does it have to rhyme?
Tuesday doesn't rhyme.
It's alliteration, not rhyming. Yeah,
that's what I said. That's what I said. Why don't you morons turn your headphones on? I said alliteration. Who brought up rhyming? Breaking news. I know.
Did you know the Taco Tuesday don't rhyme?
I didn't think about it till I said it in my mind.
Then you realized that.
And
it
then when you said it, I was like, yep. I deserve that.
I'm just going to go ahead and back on.
Is your English, one of your English teachers from high school still at Park Rose? Can we get him or her on?
Oh, teachers at Park Rose don't normally last more than like 3 years. In my experience.
They come and go.
They go, Park Rose, I'm leaving.
All right.
Hopefully it's turned around, though. Institution.
Go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
Pro Football Challenge coming up top of the hour. Anyways, this came from Nick Veronica. So he found, BetOnline AG released this, and this is the effect of each starting quarterback on the point spread of the game that they're playing in. So essentially, like, from the starter to the backup. So we'll just use Aaron Rodgers because he is actually the number one in the league. So if you go from Aaron Rodgers to the backup, what happens to the Green Bay Packers point spread? Now, some of this is averages and has to do with the backup as well. But Aaron Rodgers, for example, like, who's, I don't even know who Green Bay's backup is. If Aaron Rodgers is not to play tonight, Vegas and BetOnline AG has calculated that the Bears would then get an extra 7.5 points in the spread. So he is worth 7.5 points towards the spread. That's how good he is. The top guys in the league are Rodgers at 7.5. Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Tom Brady are all at -7. So they account for a touchdown for their team. Some of the other ones up there, Wentz and Rivers are 6.5. Drew Brees is -6. But the reason this was so funny was that everybody in the league outside of one guy is either a positive for their team or neutral. Now, the guys who are neutral are Ryan Fitzpatrick, Case Keenum, and Andy Dalton. According to Vegas, it doesn't matter whether they're on the field or not. It doesn't affect the point spread whether they play.
I don't know if I argued that at all. So
I don't think I would. There's one guy who Vegas deems as a detriment to their roster.
They're worse off with him.
They are a +1 when he plays as opposed to when he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Would you have guessed the answer? Because I know the answer.
You know I would have guessed it because I've been anti this guy for 2 years now. And
I don't think it would have taken me too many guesses.
He would have been in the top three, I think.
It would have been quickly arrived at.
A lot of listeners got it. No, it was not Kirk Cousins, you bastards. It was Eli Manning. Eli Manning, according to BetOnline AG, is a +1 towards the spread for his team.
Sounds about right, given what we've seen from Eli. I kept thinking about, because we're spreading a line tomorrow, so I was thinking about picks, and you and I might do our betting group again that we did last year. Man, I keep looking at that Dallas game, and I'm contemplating doing a tease to get Dallas to like a 1-point favorite because I'm that confident they're going to win. Maybe I should even just take them at the regular point spread that it's at now. I feel like they got worse.
Yeah.
And he's coming back. How is that going to be better?
Yeah, I'm toying with my survivor pick for the week, and the Cowboys are just screaming my name.
Especially if Zeke plays, because
screaming my name.
Even if he's a little rusty and they don't light it up, you know that defense is still going to be legit.
Yeah, your Cowgirls aren't going to lose this weekend, are they?
No.
You can't
like
lose.
Eli in Dallas. Like, no way,
yeah, but this
right?
that's not a thing anymore. That used to be a thing, and now that's long gone.
They just gang up and tackle Saquon. And
And then who else is going to beat you?
And then who else is going to beat
Golden
you?
Golden Tate? By the way, I bet you, well, unless you looked, can you guess the Green Bay backup? I would have never guessed this in my entire life. You could have given me a week to try to guess it.
They had DeShone Kizer. I know that.
They did. They cut him.
They cut him. He ended up in Oakland.
I'll give you guys each three guesses as quick as you can rattle off.
There's no way I'm going to be able to. If it's that random, there's no way I'm going to be able to guess it.
Tim Boyle.
That's right.
I'd never even heard of this human being.
I haven't either. I've heard of a Greg Boyle.
I've had a Boyle.
Yeah. Eli Manning, according to BetOnline AG, is the worst quarterback in the National Football League. And to come full circle, how about Beef Wellington Wednesday?
How about this, Ryan?
Sour
one?
Braten.
Sour Braten Sunday.
Sour Braten Sunday.
Catalonian Beef Ragu.
Oh, yeah.
How about
Mongolian Beef?
Mongolian Beef Mondays. Found it.
What about Whiskey Wednesday? We had Alex.
Yeah, Whiskey Wednesday is a thing. Yeah. Thirsty Thursday, mm-hmm. Margarita Monday.
Does anybody own the trademark of Thirsty Thursday? Because everybody uses that.
Every bar in America uses that bad boy. So I doubt it. Crunch, locally owned and operated. They have 6 locations. Go check them out. Crunch Fitness. Let's get to the final hour of the show on a Thursday. Final thoughts on the Bears and the Packers as the NFL season officially begins. We have to make our NFL picks because the season is about to get underway. So who do we think is going to win the Super Bowl this year and how wrong will we be? We'll write them down and we'll make fun of ourselves. Coming up in February, but we start the final hour where we will every Thursday from 2 to 2:30. The Pro Football Challenge is back and better than ever. NFL picks start the final hour next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.